Reading from John 14, verses 1 through 14. Don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you've believed in God. Now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Master, we don't know where you're going, so how could we know the way there? Jesus explained, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him. Philip spoke up, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be all we need. Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me, and I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. For he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Believe that I live as one with my Father, and that my Father lives as one with me. Or at least, believe because of the mighty miracles I have done. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you.
Thank you, Lisa. As we think about those scriptures, for some it will be very familiar. They've read, they understand and gone through. Others, this may be a whole new set of scriptures that they've never read before. As we begin this process, let's go to God and ask him to bless this message. Great and loving God, Son and Spirit, we thank you for the blessing of life, for the blessing that you give us. And God, as we go through this passage in John, that you would bring out the points that each one would need to hear or understand, and that we could hear it clearly. Not with just our ears, but with our heart, and that we could understand exactly what you are meaning to each one. And we just praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The title is Believe in Me. And you may have heard, and I'm quite sure you've heard messages about belief, but this is kind of a different or a new one. When faced with life experiences, what is our response? What response do you have with the experiences of life? And you can think of a whole range of experiences or emotions, because our life is full of a range of different experiences. Today, probably more than ever, we're faced with who to believe or what to believe, or is this fake news or is it real? That has become a part of our world more than ever today. So much information from so many sources, which seem legitimate, every one, whether it's on one side of the spectrum or the other, they can be played or sound very legitimate. It's difficult to pick out what we should believe and who we should ignore. Much of our response to what we hear and see is often anxiety, concern, and fear. For you or for me individually, that could be our health. Sometimes if you fall or you get a diagnosis, there's anxiety that can come into fear, maybe started with concern. For many, it's just the aging process. Not being able to do what we once did. Our mind says, I can still do, but unfortunately our body doesn't keep up. And then we have concern about did I hurt myself, or the anxiety as it heals, the fear. Family, each one of us has family members, whether they're blood or whether they're just that family connection. Anxiety and concern and fear are probably more prevalent today because we've lived in a very not normal world. Jobs, income, there's a great deal of anxiety and concern. And many people in this last 2 weeks have now joined the ranks of unemployment. And there is that uncertainty, that's the anxiety, the fear of what next. Safety. Are we safe from the elements around us? The stay at home or open up mentality or approach right now. Those are all part of our concerns, our anxieties, and ultimately fears. If I go out, is it okay? Do I need to stay at home? How do I approach those around me who may not feel the same way I do? And there is a tremendous amount of anxiety that comes out and plays in that. And then we have just the unknown, things that we don't see coming that all of a sudden are upon us. Again, those are the reactions that we all have. And for many, the question is there a God? And does he love me or care about me? That's a big question for some. Many people are not grounded in the belief that we are loved and we are held safely in that love. Today's message comes from John 14, 1 through 14. And it begins again, don't worry or surrender to your fear. Now, I will be using the New Revised Standard Version as I go through this text. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and to us through Scripture. This would have been from the Passover evening meal in the upper room. And he starts out in chapter 14, don't worry or surrender to your fear. Well, what fear did they have in that room? Let's look at maybe what they were responding to, maybe what was some anxiety or concern or fear from them. And to get that, we have to back into chapter 13 just a little bit. And it describes the evening in the upper room. It begins with Jesus washing their feet. Well, there's not really fear in that. Might be a little bit of anxiety because this is not normal. Jesus is their leader. He is the one that they are following, the rabbi, and he washes their feet. Normally that's the servant, the lowest servant. So that would have caused a little, well, what's going on? And then he poses the question, do you understand what I did? Okay, so it's not just a passing thought now. This is something they have to really reflect on. And he asks the question. And then he says, a servant is not superior to his master, and an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. That's a lot to take in. They're looking at each other, and they're wondering, do we get to discuss this? Is this something obviously new? This is not a part of their growing up culture of keeping this Passover evening. And then he says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Okay, so now does that mean what? Do I wash others' feet? Do I, you know, where does this go for me? As I'm sitting in this room around the other 11 and observing and taking in. And the level of concern may go into anxiety a little bit as they think about how this plays out. And then he drops a bomb on them. I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. Anxiety would have hit immediately at that point. You would have gone past concern, probably even into fear, because when you stop and think about if someone's going to betray Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm closely connected to Jesus. Does that mean I'm betrayed also? So the fear factor really does start to escalate in their mind. And the obvious question they probably all had is, well, who is it? Who is the one? They're looking at each other and you know, they're thinking it's not me, but who is it? And then Jesus really gives them something to fear in their minds, the anxiety. He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. So he's told them somebody's going to betray him. That could ultimately mean they would be betrayed also. He's mixed up and changed the process of the evening meal. And then he says he's leaving. What do we do with that? And then he tells Peter, who is one of the upper ones that they've looked up to, that he's always kind of been a natural open up and be a part of the leadership under Christ. And he's told, you will deny me three times. And this is Passover evening, so this would have been before tomorrow morning when the sun comes up. You, Peter, will deny me. I'm sure there was silence in the room, a tremendous amount of reflection, a tremendous amount of anxiety, concern of where this is going, and fear because what do we do with this? Things are about to change, and Jesus won't even be here to calm the storm. That is a part of that room and the emotion that probably was very prevalent in there. So we pick this up in John 14 and verse 1. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. That's the first thing he says to them in this section. And then he ends that verse with believe in God and believe in me, Jesus. God himself in Jesus Christ is telling the disciples and us today, don't let your hearts be troubled. So as we think back to that list of things that might cause concern or anxiety or fear in us, job loss, health, stay home, go out, age, all of these things, he's saying, it's okay. Believe in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. If we are to be encouraged by such words, we will need to trust the person speaking to us. And that's a part of the key points of this. We have to trust in the one we're listening to. And in this case, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't just say, God says not to worry. He says, believe in God. Trust God with the unknowns of what is troubling you. So it isn't stop your worrying. Don't worry. Let it go. But believe in me. Trust in me. Believe God. Can we take heart when he says not to be troubled? Is this real news or fake news? And that's the terms or the language that we're using in this world today, is that real news or fake news? This is Jesus telling to trust and to believe in him. Who are we putting our faith in? Are we putting our faith in our government? We are blessed to have the government we live in, the society we live in. But is that where our faith is placed? We are asked to believe what you cannot see, touch, feel, taste, or hear. Believe that there is someone at work behind all of this who has your best interest at heart. And who is at work in this world bringing about healing, renewal, restoration, and redemption? And that is Jesus Christ. That's the one we can believe in. How do we know that? In verse 2 through 4, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." It's a word picture of what is being established for us. And at the heart of this word picture is a message about living in the Father's presence. That's what we will be. That's where we will go, in the presence of God. Again, in verse 5 through 7, Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going." That would have been a very true and real statement. We don't know, but what does that mean for us? How can we know the way? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus is saying it all happens through him. He reflects everything to the Father. And this was accomplished later that weekend on the cross. Without the defeat of sin and death, we would be stuck in our inward-focused humanity of selfishness and fear that leads to betrayal and denial. But because of his defeat of that sin and death, that is no longer a burden or something hanging over us. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin and death with his very life and love. Philip said to him, verse 8 through 10, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" He goes back into believe Jesus, and he is a perfect reflection of the Father of love. Jesus is the Son who reveals the Father. Have you ever felt like maybe Jesus seems to love us, but I'm not sure about the Father? And I have heard many people talk about that as they read scripture, that, yeah, Jesus, he seems to show us love. He's always talking about love. I'm not sure about the Father. That's where we reflect back. Jesus is representing. He is a perfect focus to the Father, which means the Father loves us just as much. God the Father is not standing in the shadows, shaking his head in disapproval when Jesus heals or forgives or touches the brokenhearted and the downcast. He's not a distant Father watching what his Son is doing. He's right there with him. That's the Father's heart reaching out in Jesus' words and action. That's what the Father is doing. Verses 10 through 13, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you," essentially he's saying, listen up. Hear what I'm about to say. "The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." As you're seated there with the disciples thinking about his words as he's speaking into you at this moment, "In fact, it will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son." There is no separation of Father and Son. They are one. They are united. They are representing God to us. They move in our lives. Scripture says over and over, Jesus loves us, and he has just told us The Father loves us also. They are together in this. Jesus is still the one doing the works, and we get to participate. As Jesus moves in our lives, in your life, you can choose to participate. That is a choice that you can make. Verse 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name. Jesus is saying, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In his name, which simply means we are asking in accordance to his will and purpose and in keeping who he is for us. He's not a genie. He's not a magician. He isn't one that if you pray, God, give me untold riches and fame. If that's his will for you, it will happen. But his will is not that role of someone doing magic or performing tricks for you. Your prayer as you pray should be his will. He will answer. He will answer those requests. Maybe the answer sometimes is you wait. It's not right now. But once the prayer is said, it is in action. When we need encouragement, when our hearts are troubled, we struggle with an anxiety or a concern or a fear. Remember the words of God as he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Jesus loves us. The Father loves us. Do you believe that? Do you have questions about that? Ask. We are here. You can reach us through our website. There's emails you can post questions to through Grace Communion Derby, gcderby.org. We want to be responsive. We want to encourage you to listen to what God is saying. In this troubled times, we have more angst and anxiety and concerns than we know what to do with. And if you don't, someone else in your home may. Your neighbor certainly probably does. Reach out. We do love. We do care. We thank you for listening. We look forward to seeing you again. In Jesus' name, amen.